Hare Krishna. So thank you so much for joining for the class today. It's a very interesting topic. Third canto itself is a very interesting skanda or canto, because it's gradually explaining a lot about the creation, how the creation happened, and how from the universal form or the Virat Forma, the Lord actually started giving the responsibilities to the Prajapatis and the progenies were created. So just to, before we begin, when I was reading, just to get like an overview of the third canto, this very interesting verse had come. It mentions about how, based on the different capabilities of birds, some birds have like different wingspan, right? Like there are sparrows which have very small wings, but then there are birds like eagles and vultures who can fly really high. So that verse speaks about how, based on the different capacity the birds have, they can travel much longer or much higher. So similarly, sages with their transcendental knowledge can understand about the Lord according to their capability. So I was thinking, like, in that context, maybe I'm not even like a ladybug, like an insect, but with the blessings of the Vaishnavas, hopefully we can discuss something meaningful. So just to kind of set the context here, so the third canto begins with the Lord's pastime. It's mostly after the Mahabharata war has finished, and how he is going to Dwarka, and how the different responsibilities assigned to Yudhishthira Maharaj, and Yudhishthira Maharaj is unable to take the responsibilities because he has so much guilt from the Mahabharata war, and then slowly, step by step, getting the instructions from Bhishma Dev and other things, he will take the responsibilities, and then it kind of finishes with the Dwarka pastimes, and then slowly we can see the Lord is actually finishing his pastimes in the earthly realm. And then it explains about how the great fight between the Yadus happened. And Uddhava, who is a very great devotee, he's traveling. And then Viduraji had also left home after instructing Dhritarashtra. And then he meets Uddhavaji. And he is speaking about, and then they hear the news, actually the Lord has finished his pastimes. And they're really, really saddened. They're really, you know, very, you can say, hurt by this news that the entire Yadava race has been finished and Lord has actually won it his pastime. And you can see that Uddhavaji is actually just in that blissful memory of association with the Lord. And he's asking from the final moment, he's saying that, you know, now you are about to finish your pastimes in the earthly realm. How will we get your association? And the Lord says that even though I'm finishing my pastimes, but I am placing my potency in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So those who will take shelter, those who will take the association of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is as good as associating with me. And then the Lord will actually give the Srimad Bhagavatam to Uddhava. And hearing this, Viduraji is very inquisitive. Oh, you have been blessed. You are the only Yadava whom the Lord actually empowered with the Srimad Bhagavatam. Please, please give it to me as well. I also want to hear. And then Uddhavaji says, no, actually there is a different sage. Maitreya Muni is there. You should actually go and meet him and he will give you the Srimad Bhagavatam. And as this conversation is happening, Viduraji goes and meets Maitreya Muni. And Viduraji very interestingly speaks this verse. This is from the 5th chapter, 2nd verse. It says, Vidura vacha sukhaya karmani karoti loko na te sukham vanyat uparamam va vindeta bhuyas tata eva dukham yat atra yuktam bhagavan vadenaha. So sukhaya karmani karoti loko. So in Bengali language, people are referred to as loka, like log. Like in Hindi we say log, but loka, like kitne log the, how many people were there. So he's saying like sukhaya karmani karotu loko, everybody is endeavoring for happiness. Sukhaya karmani, everybody is trying really hard. They're doing the karma to get the happiness, sukhaya. Nathe sukham vanyat upramam va. But nobody is getting that happiness. What to speak of happiness? Nobody is even able to actually reduce their distress or actually, you know, lessen their problems in their life. So please, please tell me, what is the solution? How can people reduce their distress? How can people get the happiness, get the sukha? And then Maitri Muni will say tad in the fifth chapter, 15th verse, he says tad asya kaushrave sarma datur hare katham eva kathasusaram urdhitya pushpebhya ivarta bandho shivaya na kirtaya tirthakrite. So this was a very beautiful verse, because here Viduraji is saying that just as the bees, they go around to different flowers and they collect the pollen, the nectar from different flowers, and they bring back to the hive, and this beautiful honey is made. Similarly, you are Sarma Dhatur, you want to actually help people with their distress. That's why Harer Katham Eva Kathasu Saram. Saram, give me the essence of all the kathas. So similarly in Bengali language, every conversation is also called katha. Ki katha ache, like what is the conversation going on between you two? So it says kathasu saram, but the essence of all the kathas, whether it's about politics, whether it's about defense, whether it's about livelihood, but the essence of all that katha, all the conversations is Krishna katha. And that's why Vidurji is saying that just as bees go and collect pollens, nectars from different flowers and give the honey, similarly, give in the absolute essence, katha susaram, all the conversation which is happening in this universe, give me that sar, give me that katha, give me that essence of all those conversations which are happening. And then Maitri Muni starts giving the Srimad Bhagavatam to Vidura. And it normally starts with the Virat Avatara, how the Mahatattva is formed, and very complicated subject matter, I must admit. Even I don't have full grasp of actually what understanding of what is happening, but hopefully with Sainiya Vaishnavas I can get more understanding. And then slowly it explains about how Lord Brahma is born. He's born from the navel of the Lord, and he's first very confused, he's first very distressed, seeing that the very violent winds which are blowing, and he's first thinking about, where did I come from? And he's trying to actually find the source, and even though he's traveling down the stem of the lotus, he can't find the source where he has come from. And then he's absolute distress, and then he hears these two words, tapa. So that means austerity. And then he starts performing austerity. And then the Supreme Personality gives him the knowledge to actually start creating the progeny for the universe. And after getting that knowledge, he creates the four Sanat Kumars. And we have, in the previous classes, we have heard that how they discarded the instruction of Lord Brahma. And in that anger was Rudra formed, but Rudra, when he was given the responsibility of, progeny, he created beings which were as powerful and as violent as him. So they were all these snakes and scorpions and like intense, violent, angry kind of personalities were born, because Rudra was created from the anger in between the bros of Lord Brahma. So all this very ferocious, angry, violent, aggressive kind of beings started getting formed. And then Lord Brahma said, no, you know, if you guys are there, you will just finish the entire universe within a day. So no, you stop, you know, why didn't you take a break, like just chill for a moment, you know, just relax. So now you just meditate, and when the destruction of the universe has to take place, then your qualities, then all your associates will be necessary. So now you just relax, you just meditate on the side, and when the destruction of the universe has to happen, then I will ask you to come and help me. And that time, your capability, your talent, your experience, you know, of destroying the whole universe will be very, very come in handy. So then Rudraji is doing meditation, and then Lord Brahma creates the first Prajapatis, which starts from Marichi Muni, Pulastya, Angira. All the different rishis are getting generated, are created, and even Narada Muni is created. And then, because Lord Brahma is a devotee of the Lord, so he takes time, like he does his responsibilities, at the same time he is doing his sadhana, and he is empowering, he is asking his Prajapati, his creations, which is all these great rishis, that okay, you must progenate now. But when he comes back and he finds still the rate at which he expected the progeny to take place hasn't happened. It's similar to how in the corporate world, like in every monthly review or weekly review, the boss comes and says, okay, our target was to actually reach this, but you have done only this. Why did you go to the holiday? You know, so similarly, Lord Brahma is asking all the progenies, Marichi Muni, and you know, I expected much more progeny to happen, but I see, you know, it hasn't taken place. And that's a very interesting pastime. I think I heard in one of the classes, it says, when Lord Brahma started creating, he first created the men. Because you'll see Lord Brahma, he never actually associate with a female. He could create with his potency, he could create a man, like straight away a male personality, like all the rishis. So when he created, he first created men, but all these men were just wandering around, like Babaji is doing nothing, traveling. Oh Prabhu, I'm too tired today, you know. So then Lord Brahma created the feminine energy of the female personality, and when the man saw the female personality and in her attraction, he took responsibility. Yes, I'm going to be a responsible man now. He started earning, he started taking the mortgage, paying the bills, and then slowly the progeny kind of takes place. So similarly, Brahmaji had created a very powerful couple, which is described in the 12th chapter, 54 verse. He says, Yastu tatra puman sabhun manu swayam bhuva swarat stri yaschi shatrupakya mahishi asya mahatmanaha. So even though he had created so many progenies, different rishis, everybody was unqualified. Sanat Kumar said, the four Sanat Kumaras said, no, we are not interested on this. We don't want to get entangled in this process of creation. Rudraji helped, but he created violent, aggressive beings, which Lord Brahma didn't want. Marichi and other Prajapatis, they were also very, very inclined to devotional life. So they also were not so much into actually the process of creation. And then Lord Brahma, from his like two parts of his body, came Swayambhuva Manu and Shatrupaya. And when this couple came, that is when the real progeny happens. Because this next verse says, Tada mithuna dharmena praja hi idham babu vire. So when the man and woman came together, because of that happiness or the attraction or the rasa between the conjugal affairs or the relationship between the man and the woman, they took responsibility to actually create the progeny. And as this pastime is taking place, Swayambhuva Manu is asking Lord Brahma that, yes, I am happy to fulfill your order. I am happy to actually create the progeny. But tell me which place I should be based in. Because every family, every man and woman, they require a place, right? They require somewhere they can stay, somewhere they can have a house. We can see this stark difference between brahmachari life or the life of the renunciates and grihasthas. The grihasthas always need like a kshetra, a house, a perimeter where they can safely stay, safely, you know, have means of livelihood, and at the same time give protection to family and actually raise children. But a renunciate doesn't need that. He just, you know, he just needs like a place to stay, and then he can do preaching, he can travel around. So similarly, Swayambhu Manu is also asking, yes, I am happy to help you with this responsibility, but tell me, which place I should stay? And then Lord Brahma says, okay, you must go to the earthly planet. And Swayambhu Manu goes with his wife, and he's trying to find the earthly planet, and he's unable to find it, and he comes back, he says, I couldn't find the place which you mentioned, the earthly planet. And Lord Brahma is confused that, you can't find it? Why? I'm not sure like what has happened, I couldn't find it. And then with his potency, he could understand that the earthly planet had actually sunk into the Rasatala. And then when he was describing this pastime, he just briefly kind of mentioned like this great demon called Hiranyaksha. He had hit the earthly planet in the Rasatala, and then the Lord has to come as Varahadev, and this great battle endured, and the Lord saved the earthly planet. He brought her back on his tusk. And then Vidurji, when he hears this, he's, wait a second, did you mention about Varahadev? Who is Varahadev? And then Maitri Muni is actually explaining further. And this is how you can say we just come to the context of the chapters we are discussing, which is the 14th chapter as well as the 15th chapter. So in that pastime, as you know, that Diti, when her great husband was, you can say, meditating, he had just finished his evening sadhana. He had just finished yagna, and he was just meditating on the Lord. Deity had approached. This might have been discussed in the previous slokas which were discussed here. And Deity approaches her husband, and she says, just as a mad elephant is ravaging a banana tree, similarly the Cupid is just, you know, ravaging me, he's just hurting me, and I'm in just so much attraction towards you. Please fulfill my desire. Please associate with me. And Kashyapuni says, no, this is not a right time. Just you're a nice wife. You have been serving me so nicely. And I'm happy to actually fulfill your desire. I'm happy to actually associate with you. But please wait for a muhurta, for some time, because I see this is a very inauspicious time. Because Lord Shiva and all his associates are actually traveling, and all his associates are ghosts and goblins and different, you know, very ferocious beings. So this is not a good time. Just wait for some time. But because she was just so in attraction and awe of her husband, she couldn't just resist herself, and she actually went and approached. And the Bhagavatam verse speaks about she just went and grabbed the cloth of Kashyapa Muni. And then Kashyapa Muni just prayed to the demigods, and he said, if this is the fate, if this is what is going to happen, he just prayed and he went and associated with his wife. And it's just interesting that as soon as we can say the conceivement happened, as soon as the virya or the potency of Kashyap Muni was released into Diti, she just suddenly came to this realization. Like before, she was very attractive, she was being, you can say, you know, like, okay, please come and fulfill my desires, I really want your association and this and that, and she's just kind of trying to entice her husband. Suddenly after she gets conceived, she suddenly realizes, oh my goodness, what have I done? When I was thinking about it, in the same canto itself, 6th chapter, 19th verse, Medhram tasya vinir bhinnam swadhishnyam ka upavisat reta samshena yenava anadam pratipadyate. So it is speaking about the Virat Rupa, and the Virat Rupa, the universal form, when the, you can say, the groin area or the genitals were manifested, all the prajapatis, all the you can say empowered beings which were given the responsibilities of creating different living entities actually had entered to the groin of the Virat Purusha. And we see that all the Prajapatis are actually carrying the potency. So that includes all the Dakshas, that includes Kashyapa Muni, and Diti is actually the daughter of Daksha. And that's why as soon as she, you can say, bore, or you can say got conceived, took that virya, or you can say the, you know, the virya or the semen of Kashyapa Muni, she just immediately came to the realization that actually I've done something really, really wrong. So the 33 verse of 14th chapter says, Ditis to Vrindita Tena, Karma Vadhyena Bharata, Upasangamaya Viprasim, Adomukhi Abhyabhashataha. So Ditis to Vrindita Tena, so she just realized, I have done something really wrong. In normal language, I've just messed up, like I've done really wrong. Karma Avadhyena Bharata, something which was forbidden, I just couldn't resist myself. I just went there. And then she, Adhumukhi, she's very sorry for the action she performed. She's very, very sad that she, you know, she just got taken over by the desires. And even though it was said that this is not the right time, still she went forward. And then Adhumukhi, she's kind of very feeling very guilty. She has her head bowed down and she's actually approaching the Viprasim, the greatest of the rishis, Kashyapa Muni. And why was she guilty? So Kashyapa Muni clearly says that in the 14th chapter, 38th verse, he says, Kashyapa Vacha, apratyat atmanaste doshan muhurta kit uta man nideshat aticharena devanam chati ahelanat. So four things why this was wrong. Apratyat atmanaste, your consciousness was really wrong. You were totally, you know, in the wrong frame of mind, because I think as devotees who are in the Grihastha Ashram, we have all often heard about the Garbhodhana Samskara, that how the man and woman, they should actually chant rounds and you know, recite the names of the Lord and be in a good consciousness before we create the progeny, because in Krishna consciousness, we see that also as a service. Kamo asmi bharta barshava. You can say sex life, which is adhering to the principles of religion, is actually Krishna himself. Jai Jai Radha Gokulanda. Sitaram Lakshman Hanumaniki. So we can see that how, you can say, even if it's creating progeny, but if it's done with as a service to the Lord, is actually considered to be devotional life. So the consciousness has to be pure. But in this case, Kashyapa Muni is saying that your consciousness was really wrong. Doshan muhurta adikat uta. The timing was wrong. Your consciousness was wrong. The timing was also really, really wrong. It was the wrong time when you actually had approached me. At the same time, man nideshati charena, I had told you, my dear wife, this is not the right time. Please wait. Still, you didn't actually listen to me. You didn't actually, you know, paid importance to what I was trying to say. And deva nam cha ati helanat. At the same time, you have offended the devtas. So for, you know, your consciousness was wrong, the timing was wrong, you haven't listened to my instructions, at the same time, you have actually, you know, disrespected demigods, disrespected Lord Shiva himself. And that's why, I'm sorry, my lady, the sons who are going to be born out of your womb, they will give intense distress to all the living entities, all the brahmanas, all the cows. They will be killed, they will be hurt, and they will be a great nuisance or you know, like a pain to all the living entities. And then Diti is really sad. She's just unable to kind of like, you know, get over her guilt. But then Kashyapa Muni says, but they'll be killed by the Supreme Personality himself. And one of the sons of your, we can say one of your grandsons, will be a great, great devotee. So she was referring to, he was referring to Prahlad Maharaj, because Prahlad Maharaj is born out of Hiranyakashipu. So one of your great grandsons will be a very great devotee, and even though he will be born from a demon's family, he'll be greatly respected across all the Vaishnavas. And then Diti is kind of relieved that, okay, you know, at least they will get the darshan of the Lord, because he says the Lord will personally come and have a fight with them and actually annihilate them. So she is kind of relieved that, okay, fine, at least they will get the darshan of the Lord. And then when Kashyap Muni says, even one of your grandsons will be a very great devotee, so she is happy that, okay, one Vaishnava will be born in my family. And then as all of this is going through in her mind, she thinks, anyway, the damage has been done. So let me actually, you know, delay the birth of my sons. So this verse today, what we are discussing, she clearly says that Prajapatye tutta tejaha. So the teja, the virya, you can say the virya shakti of Kashyap Muni, she just kept para tejo hanam diti. She was fearful that it will create disturbances for other living entities. Dadhara varshani sattam. For 100 years, she just bore the semen. Even though a normal progeny happens, you know, for example, we learn from the pastime of Kardava Muni and Devahuti that when he created progeny, the first 9 daughters were born. And the daughters were straight away born as a 16-year-old, or you can say a girl who is already, you know, mature, and she is ready to get married. So if she wanted, she could have actually given birth to her son straight away, Diti, but she thought, no. If these sons are getting born, they will actually create disturbances to the entire living entity. So she just thought, okay, even though they are going to get born, but let me actually, you know, reduce the time, somehow keep them in my womb so that the disturbances what they're going to get created can be reduced. And this final, you can say the Sanskrit verse, Shankamana Suradhanat. So we can see that she is kind of worried about the suras, about the demigods. So in a way, she is trying to protect demigods, because she knows that it's the sons are actually coming from Kashyap Muni himself, and his potency, they will be very strong, they will be very powerful, and they will give trouble to the demigods. So she purposefully wanted to protect the demigods, and that's why she kind of bore the, you can say, the virya, the teja, or the semen of Kashyap Muni for 100 years. And then finally these sons were born. And just the next text, which will be discussed tomorrow, it says that as soon as this she had obtained her womb, all the demigods could see that the effluence of the sun planet, all the Lokpal, the Indra, everybody had actually, you know, they were deprived of the effulgence of their energy. And when I was thinking about this verse, it's just really interesting, because even though she, Diti, she was taken over by her desires, but still she had this, you can say desire to actually protect the demigods, right? So when I was thinking about this pastime, this very interesting pastime, this is about the churning of the milk potion, which came to my mind. And when we see protection, we'll see in this pastime that how the Lord is protecting his devotees. The Lord is protecting the demigods at every stage in their life. So the churning of the milk ocean, let's just first discuss, like, what is the difference between a demigod and a asura? Anybody would like to actually give some answers? How do we distinguish, like, who is actually a demigod and who is actually, do they look like really ferocious? Do they have like big fangs? Like, what is the difference? What is the main difference with they have horns? Sorry? What? Yes, very, very close to the answer, Prabhu. Anybody else? Yeah. Yeah, so what does that refer to? So killing also, let's say Arjuna is also killing and a demon is also killing. Maybe. Yes, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And demons? Exactly. Very true. And that's why when you try, when in the Vedic scripture it said that when you try to just satisfy your own senses, it is considered violence. So very, very true, Prabhu. So if we are just trying, if somebody is just trying to fulfill just his own senses, it is as good as violence. And that's why, that's the main difference. Because in the pastime of churning of the milk ocean, we can clearly see that they were actually, the demigods and the demons, they were actually coming from the same lineage, same birth, same knowledge, same education. But the only difference was the demigods were always depending on the mercy of the Lord. But the demons, they were always saying that, oh, you know, we are so strong. We are so powerful. We are so knowledgeable. We can solve everything. So the only difference in this pastime we can see between the demigods and the demons is one class, that the demigods are always trying to take shelter of the Lord. And whatever activity they are doing, they're always doing it for the pleasure of the Lord. And the demons, they are just always thinking about themselves. So the churning of the milk ocean explains about how the demigods were first defeated in this great battle, and they had been reduced of their shri, of their opulence, and then they approached Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma actually goes to pray towards the Lord, and he is, after giving his prayers, he is given this knowledge that, and the Lord says to all the demigods that you should actually do the churning of the milk ocean, and whatever ratna, and in that churning of the milk ocean, amrita, the nectar will come out. And once you drink that, you will become immortal. So just a few days back, this great battle endowed between you and the demigods. And you were defeated. So once you get that nectar, you will be immortal. By immortal doesn't mean that they'll be like the Lord. They'll be, you know, they will never die. But they will live a very, very long life, which is as good as being immortal. So after hearing these instructions from the Lord himself, the demigods, they go towards the Mandara hill. They break the Mandara hill, and they are trying to bring the Mandara hill towards the milk ocean. And even though these demigods and these asuras, they are very powerful, they are very strong, they are the prajapatis and you know, the lokpals of this whole universe, because the Mandara hill is just so heavy that they are unable to bear the weight. And after some time, after walking for maybe half an hour or so, they get tired, and the Mandara hill just crushes. Some of the demigods and demons actually get killed in the process. And then you can see the same mood as Diti is showing. The Lord actually comes on Garuda, and just with one hand, the same Mandara hill which was had to be carried by so many demons and demigods together, the Lord just comes and takes the Mandara hill, keeps it on the back of Garudaji, and he gives a lift to all the demigods and the asuras. All of them carry, all of them climb to the body of Garudaji, and they're taken to the location where the churning has to take place. The churning is about to take place. They keep the Mandara hill, And as soon as it's kept in the milk ocean, it gets, you know, it gets sunk. And then again, the demigods are really distressed. Oh my goodness, why did I do this? Why, you know, what is the use of all this? I'm so tired. I'm so this and that. Everybody just distressed. And the Lord again comes. He comes as Kashyapa avatar. And he actually brings the Bandara hill on the top. And on top, he places himself again so that the churning can happen. And even when the churning was about to take place and Vasuki ji was entitled the responsibility to actually be the churning rope, the Lord first goes to the head of Vasuki ji, and he knew that when this churning is about to take place, Vasuki ji will get stretched, right? And out of that anguish, he is going to like release fire and like poisonous gases. And so first he goes with the demigods to actually hold the head. And this demons, they come, no. Why should we actually hold the tail of the snake, you know? We are also educated. We are also experienced. We are also coming from a great lineage. So we will hold the head. You should hold the tail where all the excreta and other like waste substance comes out of the snake. And this great churning is taking place. They are getting tired, the smoke, the fire which is coming out of Vasuki is getting burned. The Lord will actually bring the clouds. And you will see at every stage, the Lord is trying to protect his devotees. They are distressed, they are demotivated. The Lord personally comes and he holds Vasuki ji and he is churning. And even after all this endeavor happens, the Amrita comes out. As soon as the Amrit comes out, the demons come back to their original mood. They just snatch the Amrit pot out of Dhanvantari ji's hand and they just run away. And the Lord still trying, even though so much has happened, Mandara fell, hell fell down, it got sunk. Nobody was motivated, you know, just like before the Sankirtan leader has to give a prep talk. So Lord has to give prep talk at each stage. Out of all of that, what has happened, still when the final nectar was created, it got snatched away by the demons. And still the Lord is not giving up for his devotees. He takes the form of Mohini avatar and actually entices the demons to actually give back the nectar. So you just see this very interesting mood of protecting his devotees. So I thought that is very, very interesting, because here also in this verse also, Diti is in the similar mood. She just wants to protect. She just wants to make sure that the demigods, they are saved. They're protected. They're not being hurt by her own sons. And that's why she bores the semen of her husband for 100 years. So with that, I would like to actually finish the chapter. And the coming verses of this chapter are going to be very, very interesting, because again, the pastime of this 4 Sanat Kumaras, how they went to the Vaikuntha Loka, and how these two doorkeepers, Jay and Vijay, they were cursed. All these very interesting pastimes are actually going to happen. So, yeah, stay tuned to the classes which are going to come in the future. So, thank you so much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. So, if anybody has any questions, any corrections, any feedbacks. Prabhuji, yeah, you can just, I'll just repeat your question. Yeah. I think it doesn't say they prepared, but they could start like just the next verse. I'll just quote the next verse. It says, "Loke tenaha loke lokapala hautajsa nyavadayan vishwar sijay dhavantya vyatikaran disham." So it says, By the force of the progeny of Diti, the light of the sun and the moon were impaired in all the planes, and the demigods of various planets being disturbed by that force. So they could start seeing the symptoms, you know. For example, we often, it says that when the Lord actually had has finished his pastimes, you could see that all the bad omens were starting to create, like all the, you know, like the trees, they had fallen, the fruits had fallen, all the cows, they were like yelling, all the, you can say foxes, they were actually, you know, howling, and all this like very inauspicious omens were starting to appear. So this verse is kind of suggesting that they could start seeing the bad omens. For example, the sun and the moon are actually considered to be the eyes of the Virat Purusha himself. So they were actually, the effulgence of the sun and the moon were getting reduced, and the potency of all the lokpals, all the demigods were getting reduced. So they could see that their virya or their power was actually getting reduced. So they could feel that something really bad is about to take place. And of course, as is with any living entity, that first when something happens out of strange, we just think maybe it's just a random act, you know, maybe it's just a random occurrence which has happened. But when this, they just started seeing these omens again and again and again in a continuous fashion. Because we should understand one thing, the Srimad Bhagavatam will always, like whenever it's explaining about progeny or about generations, it's always referring to the king, because it's not possible to actually mention every living entity which were born in that duration. It just mentions the king. Similarly, out of all the different omens or bad omens which had taken place, Maitreya Muniji is just referring to the effulgence of the sun and the moon getting reduced. At the same time, all the demigods losing their power. So there were definitely much more bad omens which were taking place, but Maitreya Muni just chose these two as symbolic representation of what was happening. And I guess that's the time when they actually go and approach Lord Brahma, and they're asking, you know, what has happened? Because they were all confused, like, what has happened? Because everything is just, you know, going towards a bad direction. There's a lot of bad energy, bad things are taking place. So what is happening? So then Lord Brahmaji will actually go on and actually explains, and I think it goes towards the pastime of how Jayan Vijaya are getting cursed. Yeah. And then, as you know, the pastime from there onwards. Yeah. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitya Gaura Premanande.